Sarah's going to put up Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7, aren't you, Sarah? Yeah, I know we've probably repeated this many times in the last few talks, but I think it's always good to, again, reread exactly what Isaiah's writing here. So here we go. Starting at verse 2. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the deep darkness, on them has a light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they are divided the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. For every boot that was trampling of the warrior in the battle of tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over this kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. You know, like all God's prophets, they speak of a redemptive revelation. They speak of a future restoration to bring his people back to where they belong. And Isaiah loves to speak about eternity, what God promises for a future hope for us all. And in chapter 9, Isaiah speaks about a child born centuries into the future, whose government will be on his shoulders. He will be a wonderful counselor, one who is mighty, everlasting, and a peacemaker. This child will be the king, and with him he will bring his kingdom. This is the good news of great joy that the angels will declare. This is the true message of Christmas, that at the birth of Jesus the Messiah, everything radically changes. Nothing will be the same again. On Wednesday night, Dave Much prayed about turning this world upside down. Or maybe he meant that turning it the right way up. You know, I used to have a bath toy, and when you put it in the water, it was upside down. Now, I haven't paid for it for a couple of years, but what happens was, as it filled with water, it turned the right way up. Jesus' birth is the start of this process. His return will bring this world the right way up. In Isaiah's time, Israel was in a very, very dark place. Yet in chapter 9, verse 2, he speaks about a future restoration and a future hope, when God promises he will send a great light to disperse that darkness and establish his kingdom and unite heaven and earth once more. As it was in the beginning, so now a future hope. And this is what we call Advent, a restoration completed at the return of Jesus Christ. Now, part of the characteristics of this future child that brings this hope will be an everlasting father. Now, some saw this statement as heresy. How can the father be the son, and how can the son be the father? But I doubt Isaiah thought about the Trinity here in mind when he wrote this. What he was looking at is not the role of the father, but his character and how he treats his children as a father should. Now, some of us have lost fathers. My dad's 97 in April, and I'm not sure how long he's got left now with me. Some even yearn for a father they never knew. Some of us have been blessed with a good father. But all of us, the dads that are here today, we all have our human limitations and have all got things slightly wrong when it comes to fatherhood. But Isaiah prophesies here that there will be an everlasting father, perfect in every way for those who believe and trust in him. And once we become a child of Christ, we are adopted into his family. We are his. We are ours. He is ours forever. This is everlasting. And once we become a child of Christ, this is our identity. Our identity now lies in him and not the world. And not even death itself can separate us from this truth. We have an everlasting Father who forgives, heals, redeems, restores, satisfies, is full of grace and compassion. He is patient, loving, giving, close, so close and intimate, we can now call him Abba Father. And his heart is to make these perfect characteristics known to us. Characteristics that are everlasting, never waver, never changes, and it's the same today, yesterday, and into the future. And it's through Jesus Christ that this character of this everlasting Father is revealed to the world. This is the whole point of the Christmas story. This is the good news of great joy the angels will declare. You see, Jesus is the perfect image of the everlasting Father. He is the one who shepherds, the one who affirms, the one who stays close to us all in every circumstance. Jesus is not the Father, but makes the Father known. He is the only one who can perfectly reveal the characteristics of Father to us. Not because Jesus is part of God, it's because Jesus is God. Sarah, can you put up the slide for me, please? How do we know this? Because Jesus declares it here. In John 10:30, when he says, I and the Father are one. He goes on in verse 38 to say, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And lastly, in John 14:9, where he says to Philip, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. See, whatever relationship we want from the Father, Jesus is it. And this relationship is everlasting, timeless, and never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and into the future. And through the cross, where the curtain was torn from top to bottom, where death was defeated, we now have a future hope with an intimate, everlasting Father. And this becomes complete when Christ returns once again. Until then, thankfully, we haven't been abandoned to our own devices. Through the Holy Spirit that has been poured out for us, he is still, as Isaiah 7:14 says, he is Emmanuel, God with us in all circumstances. Why? So we can allow him to work through us, to continue the advancement of his kingdom here on earth, and it can continue to the power of the Holy Spirit. Bit by bit, good deed by good deed, step by step, saved life by saved life, heaven and earth become that little bit more united. This upside down world gets a little bit more the right way up until it's completed at Christ's return. Our calling, whatever shape it comes in, whatever part of the body you are, it's to do what Jesus did, to reflect and reveal the perfect characteristics of the everlasting Father, who is a mighty God, whose government's on his shoulders, who is a wonderful counselor and a peacemaker. Just as the angels did to over 2,000 years ago, we need to declare the good news and great joy to this world. Just as Jesus allowed the Father to be seen through him, we now need to allow Jesus to be seen through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so his everlasting character can be revealed to this upside-down world. I want to finish by reading Psalm 103 as a prayer to him, and just maybe the words maybe wash over you. If you've got into animate, get into your animate place. If not, just sit back and just let these words wash over us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all that his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and is abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove his transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his work, obeying his voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, and do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, all his places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.